Every single day, as parents, we find ourselves doing a lot for our children. But in the midst of our busy lives, are we earnestly praying for them?
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll speak about the power of covering our children in prayer. Join us. Pastor Chris Holland has a powerful testimony of a mom who refused to stop praying for him, even when his life took him down the path of the prodigal son.
Debbie Howell is a mom who prays specific, powerful, promise-filled, and hope-inspired prayers for her children and uses scriptures to create personalized prayers for her now young adult daughters.
We are delighted to have Pastor Chris and Debbie join us today. Pastor Holland is the Senior Evangelist for Hope Channel International and President-elect of the Living Hope School of Evangelism. He has served in ministry for over 20 years.
Debbie Howell is an author, speaker, blogger, and radio personality. She's currently working on a master's in pastoral ministries at Andrews University. Debbie is fully committed to connecting the world to God's heart through His Word. Welcome, Pastor Chris and Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So we're going to begin with Pastor Chris. Tell us how your mother's prayers changed your life.
Well, I'll tell you, William and Elaine, thank you so much for having me. All of this began when I was about 14 years old. My father took me to a football game. And at that football game, it was the San Francisco 49ers versus the Chicago Bears. I grew up in the Chicago area. And after that game, my dad shared something with me that would change the trajectory of my life. And that was that he and my mom were going to get a divorce. And that began a series of moving in and moving out. And I became a very, very angry young man. I played football in high school. While I grew up Catholic, basically I gave up on the church at a very young age. No one came, no one was there to support. And so I just gave up on it. And football came to an end for me. I had an injury, spent basically all of my sophomore and junior year on crutches. And I had no outlet for that anger, and it was just pent up inside of me. And over the course of time, I became angry, angry, and angrier with my mom until finally, after I graduated high school, about 3 months after I graduated high school, I left home. And one day my mom went to work. And just to give you a bit of context, my mom was a homemaker. My mom had me when she was in college. And didn't get a degree. And then everything changed for our family. And my mom went out, she started working as a bank teller, and over the years worked her way up through the ranks, eventually became a manager of the local bank. And she took care of us boys. I have three younger brothers, and she took care of us. And but during that time, I just got more and more angry with my mom. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, I'd go visit with my dad and it was all fun and games, and then go back home. And when you go back home, there's chores to do and things to do. And I just became more and more angry with my mom. And so one day she went to work. I packed up all my stuff, didn't tell her where I was going, and I left.
Wow.
And I did not speak to my mom for 2 years.
Oh, that is so sad. I'm trying to still figure out, why were you so angry at your mom? Why was your anger directed towards her? Have you thought about that?
You know, that's an interesting question, Elaine. You know, when you're a young person, all the synapses are not tied together like they should be. And I blamed my mom a lot for the divorce. And listen, I understand now, you know, many years later that it takes two, and learned about a little bit about that family struggle, and actually came to find out that my mom was not at fault. However, that anger was directed at her because I saw her as an individual that had rules. But when I would go with my dad, and it wasn't that my dad didn't have any rules, but his rules were a bit looser than hers. Right. And so that anger was just directed at my mom. And so when I say I left and I didn't speak to my mom for 2 years, I mean, that is literal. I literally didn't speak to my mom, but I'll tell you this, I came to find out later, my mom was praying for me. My mom was praying for me every day, and my mom was looking for excuses. She would send me cards on my birthday, never missed a birthday, on Christmas, and then started sending cards on Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, every day she could come up with to send a card just to let me know that she loved me and she wanted me to come back home.
So two things. One, how did your mom know where you were? Did you communicate with her once you left?
You know, my mom actually figured it out. I'm quite not quite sure how she figured it out, but she figured it out because, you know, moms have this way of figuring things. That's right. And so she figured that out. So she started sending those cards for sure.
I think what's so amazing, and the reason why I asked about the anger, is because despite the fact that you were very angry at her, she continued to pray for you and she continued to pursue you. So what happened after that? How did you end up coming back? How did you end up reuniting with her?
You know, the journey takes me far and wide. I was going through my own spiritual struggle, searching. I knew God existed. I just was trying to figure out where he existed. And interestingly enough, I was at a conference that would be the furthest thing from biblical truth. But I was at this conference where I came to this, and I really believe Romans 8:28 came to a real fruition there, where God spoke to me and really let me know, like, I was being very selfish, very self-centered. And so I called my mom from this conference. And when I read this story you introduced as a prodigal story, I mean, I understand the prodigal because that's what I did. I was getting ready to pick up the phone and I said, what am I going to say? I mean, really, what do you say after 2 years? Hey, mom, I forgot to call. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to say. And I called, and all I did is I said, my mom picked up the phone and I said, mom. And my mom just started crying. And my mom just asked me to come home. Now, you know, I was living in my own apartment. I never went back and lived with my mom, but the coming home was certainly, yes, a literal thing, but it was also figurative. And it's interesting, Willie and Elaine, I went and I was reunited with my mom. And in the 20, it's been 26 years since that time, my mom has never, ever asked me the question why. She's never asked me why I did these things. But the Lord brought us together. My mom was praying continually for me. And I'm very happy to say I have a relationship with my mom like I've never had before. I'm very close with my mom. And that's how we came together. And like I said, the story's long, but that's how we came together.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Really appreciated you sharing your story. After a short break, we will talk to Debbie, a mom who prays in a special and unique way for her children. Stay with us.
Inspired writer Ellen G. White says the power of a mother's prayer cannot be too highly estimated.
Our next guest, Debbie Howell, has been praying personalized prayers for her two daughters for a long time. Debbie, tell us more about these prayers and the impact they have had on your life and your daughters' lives.
I would be happy to share this with you, and I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you for putting the question the way you did, because it's not just about praying so that God will change my daughters. It's about praying so God will change me and change each one of us as we, you know, come to him. As parents, it's a big responsibility. It's a blessing. It's a joy. And it also comes with a lot of scary times, a lot of fears over the years from birth and even into adulthood. I have two daughters. One is 20. The other is 27. And I feel like I'm their mom just as much now as I was when they were babies. Like, you just can't ever let go, even as they get older. And God really started to teach me about praying scripture over 18 years ago when I became member at New Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church in Maryland, and I became actively involved with the prayer ministry, and I just devoured every book on prayer that I came across, and really growing and excited for what I was learning, and my relationship with God was growing. But then when my older daughter turned 14, there was this huge shift, and everything seemed to just fall apart. Like, she'd been this such an easy child and no issues at all. And then at the age of 14, I didn't even recognize her anymore. And it just brought me to my knees before God. And I was praying out of desperation. I was praying out of fear. And that's where God started to step in and said, "Debbie, pray my word back to me. Pray in faith based on what I've promised, based on who I am. And let me fulfill my will for your daughter's life through your prayers." And so it's been she's 27 now. So it's been 13 years I've been covering her as well as my younger daughter in prayer. And the things that God has taught me, I mean, I've seen him really step into their lives in amazing ways. But the story's not over yet. There's still some days that I really struggle because I really want them to know God for themselves. My older daughter is trying to find her own truth. So to be able to step back as a parent and say, you know, God's got this, God's got her. I don't have to try to push my agenda on her.
Right.
And just really trust God with this whole journey.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say, Debbie, is that basically it's about taking God at his word and getting out of God's way so that he can do what he wants to do for your daughters.
Right. Absolutely. And I think probably one of the biggest things I've learned is really how to come to God in faith when I pray, because we're so driven by what we see and how we feel. We're human. We can't help that. But God has taught me that to really please him and to live in faith and to pray in faith means that my faith is based on his word and his character. That's it. That's the only way we can be in faith and not give up and not be swayed, not give into fear when things are happening, you know, to our children or choices our children are making that really scare us.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, that's really scary. And that whole notion of trusting God. And that's why it's so important what you said about the fact that when you're praying for your children and you're covering them, but you're also praying that God will change your heart and God will change your ask, you know, what you're asking for. But we want to specifically know also, and we want our viewers to know, the specific way in which you pray for these girls. You have a special way in which you pray for these young women, I should say. Tell us
more
about that.
Sure, I'd love to. I put my scriptures in my prayers. Like, I find these scriptures, for example, one that I'm really focusing on right now is from Zechariah 2, verse 5. And this is where God promises to kind of step into Israel's story after they left him, after their prodigal experience. And a lot of us feel that way about our kids. You know, my child has left the church. They don't believe in God. They're just making self-destructive choices. But this is what God promises us for our kids, just as he did for Israel. Instead of a wall of stone, I will be a wall of fire protecting her all around, and I will be the shining glory within her. And when I pray scriptures like this, I almost see the vision that God has for my daughters. He's going to be this wall of protection around them.
Amen.
He's going to be the glory within their lives. What a beautiful picture.
Absolutely. And what's amazing about that is that you remove yourself out of the picture in some ways and allow God to be God. You know,
amen.
Invariably, when I speak to Christians and they tell me, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. You know, I'm not feeling like I need to pray or I want to pray because I'm not sure that God is listening. And exactly what you're saying, it's not so much about how we're feeling. It needs to be about what we know God is saying is scripture. And take him at his word, because
absolutely,
he's not man that he will lie or go back on his promise. And mm-hmm. especially when it comes to our children. So it is amazing what you're doing. And so where do you find yourself at this point in relation to those prayers as you're covering your daughters at this moment in time?
Well, I feel like God is continuing to teach me so much, because, you know, there are things that concern me. But one thing he keeps bringing me back to as I pray for them, as I find these scriptures to cover them with, and that is that what I pray for them at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, all day long, is that they will experience God for themselves. I know as Christians, a lot of times, you know, if I could just get my child to come to church every week, like my prayers would be answered. And that's a wonderful thing to have happen. That's a wonderful prayer. But I want to go deeper. I don't want my daughters coming to church because they are literally fifth generation Adventists in my family. I want them to know God for themselves. I want them to experience him in an incredible way. I want them to be passionate about him because they know him outside of anything I've ever taught them.
Amen.
So to find these scriptures of, you know, David's prayers or Paul's passion and put my daughter's names in there, say, you know, my daughters, they love God with all their hearts, with all their souls, with all their strength. Amen. I mean, those are the best prayers we can pray for our kids.
Amen.
So powerful.
What I'm hearing you say, Debbie, is that you want much more than just window dressing. You want a genuine relationship with Jesus
Christ.
Amen. When we come back from a short break, we will hear more from Debbie and Pastor Chris. Stay with us. We're speaking with Debbie Howell and Pastor Chris Holland about how prayer has impacted their lives. Debbie praying for her daughters and Pastor Chris being prayed for by his mom.
So, Debbie, what advice would you give to a mom or parents who are feeling discouraged and feel as if their prayers aren't being answered?
My advice would be to be real with God, to be as open and vulnerable as you can. Just get it all out. Get out the fear, the anger, the doubt, but don't let your prayers end there. After just really letting God hear what's on your heart, even though we're so grateful he already knows, to say very directly, God, I know you hear me. And I know you answer, because I think so many times we go into our prayers already defeated because our mindset is one of frustration, because we really don't know if we believe that he hears our prayers. And to bring scripture, there's just something beautiful about putting your children's name in scripture. For me, it just opens up the heart of God to me in a whole new way, and it grows my faith, and it just brings me to this place of worship before God. And to an easy way to do that is go to BibleGateway.com, and you can put in any keyword and it'll bring up all different versions of the same scripture. Find the one that really speaks to you and you can write them out in a journal. I even go to Bible Lens, which is part of YouVersion app, and print out pictures of my daughters with scriptures on them, and it keeps their faces and the scriptures right in front of me. So to really personalize scripture for your kids, I even made each of them a journal for Christmas, and it's just full of my scripture prayers for them so that they always have them wherever they are.
I think that's just so powerful, and the fact that even if they don't appreciate the value of that right now, not saying that they don't, but even if they didn't, if you're a parent and you try this, at some point, they will pick up that book, right?
Right.
And we heard that from Pastor Chris's story, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think the persistence and not giving up is so critical. I often tell a story of my grandmother and the fact that every day in our worship, my grandmother raised me, she would pray for her oldest son and that he would come back to the church, that he would come back to the Lord. And I remember just after a while thinking, why is she still praying? And I heard my grandmother pray for 20 years,
wow.
20 years. Yeah. And praise God, my uncle came back to the church, came back to the Lord, loves the Lord with all his heart. And that has just been such a testimony to me as I continue praying for my children. So praise God for praying these prayers over our children.
So Pastor Chris, what advice would you give to a dad or parents who have an estranged relationship with their child, or their child is no longer interested in God? What would you say?
Well, I would echo what Elaine has just said, and that is this persistence. Never give up. My mom never gave up on me. Never. In fact, you know, I'm 47 years old, and my mom still sends me cards on Valentine's Day with little candy, and she has continued that. And it's not just with me, by the way. It's with all of my brothers. I have three younger brothers. And so this issue of persistence, but also claiming the Bible promises, as Debbie was just talking about. One of my favorite is Joshua 1:9, where the Bible says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And it's clinging to that promise that God has this. And all of that is very easy to say, because when you're going through it, and while Debbie and I, my wife Debbie and I, don't have any children of our own, we have a number of young people that are very close to us in our life, and we've gone through a very similar situation where you're praying and you're praying, and it almost seems like maybe God is not answering, but then all of a sudden, dramatically, God will do something. There's going to be tears. There's going to be heartache. And we don't want to hide that from God, but we want to be persistent, claiming and clinging to the promise of God, that God's desire is that your young person, God wants them in the kingdom. The promise of Joel 2, where God is going to mend these broken relationships and bring fathers and sons back together and mothers and daughters back together. This is God's desire to mend these relationships. And as we cling to that, and as we know that, we can trust God with everything and anything that has to do with these broken relationships.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. It basically tells us then that it's a God thing. And God is not only doing something for our children that we're praying for, He's doing something for us, for our own relationship, for our own faith. And as I like to say, we need to use this faith on purpose. And speaking about mending relationships, that's the last day message. That's the Elijah message that Malachi 4 speaks about God bringing the fathers to the children, having them turn their hearts to their children and children to their fathers, because this is what needs to happen before the Lord returns. He wants to see families coming together. And if you are out there and your children have wandered away from God, do not quit praying for them. Keep praying. Keep trusting in God. Keep praying scriptures into their lives, as Debbie has just mentioned, and as Pastor Chris has shared as well. So thank you, Debbie. And thank you, Pastor Chris, for joining us today. We want to leave you with a message of encouragement from Jesus that says in John 14:14, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it."
Amen. Amen. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.